We're going to take our Bibles this evening and get a look at Philippians chapter 4 this evening, just for a little bit. We'll see some other scriptures along the way, of course. But Philippians chapter 4 will be our starting point tonight. And as you can see on the board this evening, the topic tonight will be missions. And to break that down, it's a little farther. Giving is part of Christian living. Tonight we're going to talk about missions, and when we do that, we talk about being willing to either go or being willing to either give. And sometimes both. But we want to look at that tonight on our part of the church as far as giving is concerned. Philippians chapter 4, we begin to read it tonight in verse number 10, please. And we'll read down to the end of the verse number 20. And then we'll be looking at a few other places as well. But giving is part of Christian living. Look with me at Philippians 4, verse number 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Now this is the Apostle Paul. He's, again, if you understand the book of Philippians, Paul is in jail. He's in prison in Rome. And it won't be long before he is beheaded. And the church at Philippi, of course, sends him a gift, sends him some money, sends him a care package. And he's writing back a letter to them. And in this letter, he thanks them for this gift that is given to them. And so with that, there are some promises attached. And so then I don't want to see that, but to get the kind of context of it, of the scripture, again, Paul is in prison writing back to a very giving church. Verse number 10 says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. So they were multiple times the church had taken care of Paul, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The context of that scripture again is I can be content. I can be abased, I can be right with God. I can do all things spiritually through Christ who strengtheneth me. Christ is your strength. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye communicate with me with my affliction. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. This is Paul referring back to his missionary journeys, his first missionary journeys when the gospel began to take place in, he had been to Philippi and traveled down to Macedonia. And when he departed from Macedonia, the church gave him money, gave him a gift, to help him along the way. Verse number 16. For even in Thessalonica, he is sent once and again unto a necessity. So there is an ongoing, they're doing it more than one time. Not only when he left from Macedonia, but now also when he left from Thessalonica twice. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you in order of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. I want to look at these verses tonight. We're going to branch out to 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians a little bit this evening. But giving is part of the Christian life, is part of Christian living. Father, help us tonight, I pray. Please, Lord, give me clarity of thought. And Lord, I just desire to be anointed, Father, of you and be a help to our people tonight. Lord, my heart is that our church would be a church that loves missionaries, that loves, Lord, the work of missions. Lord, that loves soul winning and passing out tracts, and just that, Lord, has a desire to see people saved. Father, as Lord, you are not willing any should perish, may we also have that great burden burn within our hearts as well. Lord, to see salvation take place, and Lord, in the lives of people, and then Lord, you being glorified because of it. Now, Lord, help us to see what we can do. Father, many times I think our knee-jerk reaction is, well, I'm not called and I can't do anything. But Lord, the fact of the matter is there's a lot that we can do individually as well. Now God bless, I pray. We ask your name. Amen. Here we see that missions, I believe, are a biblical operation of the church. We find in the scripture that, in fact, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts chapter number 13. Hold your place in Philippians. We'll come back to this in a little while, but I want you to turn over to Acts, back to Acts chapter number 13. And as we read there that, missions are a biblical operation of the church. The church is to be involved in missions work. In Acts chapter number 13, we read in verse number 1, it says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God." So here we find that the church is involved in missions. It's our biblical operation of the church. A church that is not, that's not involved in missions and not doing what God has called them to do. Many things that we don't have to do. One of the things I believe that we have to be involved in is missions. We find here, I want you to see this, that the church sends missionaries. If we read that in Acts 13, 1 through 5, the church is to be responsible for sending out missionaries. And here's the interesting part. We find that in Acts chapter 13, verse number 1 and 2, that these laborers that God called were already busy in the ministry. They were already doing something for God in their own local church. And I really believe that if our heart is to do something for God, we shouldn't just sit back and say, "God, I'm going to wait for you to call me to something big." Because working in the church is big. And no matter what they were doing here, it was big business. It was good things that they were involved in. They ministered unto the Lord and they fasted and they prayed. And so God doesn't call people that are not doing anything. God does not call pew warmers to do anything for Him. It's been my experience, as I read the Word of God, that God calls people to the ministry that are involved in the ministry. And so God called Paul and Barnabas here. And we find that verse number 2 says, the Holy Spirit calls them. And the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul." And so we find that these missionaries, folks that are missionaries, are God called. They're not mama or dad called, or mama called and dad sent. They are God called. God calls laborers. And God calls who He desires to call. And by the way, the calling is both, I believe this as well, the calling is both evident to the church and to those who are called. If you look at the scripture that they're talking to the church, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul." And so if somebody is called, the call is evident, not just that individual person that says, "I'm called," but the call is evident to those in the church as well, that where that person labored and worked. And so we find that the Holy Spirit of God called these men to missions. In verse number 3 and 4, we find that as we read this, that the church fasted and prayed and laid hands on them and then sent them away. Verse number 4 says, watch it, "So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost." As I read this, I'm seeing here that the church is in cooperation with the Holy Ghost. The church is working side by side along with the Holy Spirit. The church prays over Saul and Barnabas, places her hands upon them and prays over them, fasts for them, and then sends them away. But the next verse says, the Holy Ghost sent them. And so the church is in cooperation with the Holy Ghost. And boy, that's what we want. We want to be in accord with the God of heaven. We want to walk side by side with the Holy Spirit and be anointed with the Holy Spirit and be Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. And so the church is to be in the sending business. I believe that tonight that there could be some folks tonight in our church that God wants to send somewhere. I believe that, and I pray for that God to send folks out of our church as well as the mission field. And so missions, in verse number 5, we find that when Paul and Barnabas got to Salamis, that they preached the word of God. So what is missions? Missions is church members being called by the Holy Spirit, commissioned by the local church, sent by the Holy Spirit to preach the word of God in a different location. That's what it is. It's church members being called by the Holy Spirit, commissioned by the local church, sent out by the Holy Ghost to a certain place and location to preach the word of God. We're not there for social reform. And I'm not against some of that stuff. We're not there as far as trying to heal people with medical, you know, medical teams. I'm not against that either. But the main part of going there is the Word of God, preaching the Word of God. So we find the church is to be involved in that. We're to be involved in that. And parents, I would hope that you would pray that God send your children and God to call your children to the ministry and that we'd be preparing our kids that if God does call them, but our kids got to be involved in the ministry here at the church as well and working for God. And so we find that the church sends missionaries. And if the church sends missionaries, then I also believe this. The church supports missionaries. The church also supports missionaries. And so let's look at that tonight. The church supports missionaries. Take your Bibles and look at the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. The church supports missionaries. 1 Corinthians 9, I want to read verse number 14. Giving is prescribed by the Lord. Verse number 14 says, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel shall live of the gospel. So here we find that God, the whole verse there is talking about not muzzling the ox and when a person goes out to battle, he goes out to war, that he's fed by the army and he doesn't have to provide for himself and on it goes to his context. And so we find that the scripture says that when a man labors to preach the gospel, he should live off the gospel. The labor is worthy of his hire. And so here as the missionary goes out and labors, the church is responsible for supporting that individual as well. Now, sometimes our response by people is, well, I have to work a job. They can get a job. Well, in many foreign countries, you can't get a job. And many times, these missionaries that go to these third world countries, they spend half their day just surviving. It's amazing how much time, if you go to Alaska or over in Uganda or over to Africa, how much time these missionaries will spend just trying to survive throughout the day and get enough to survive on that day, let alone the missionaries work on top of that. And so oftentimes the missionary cannot work in a foreign country. If they get caught making money, they get kicked out of the country. And so what I want to say tonight is that the church sends missionaries, but the church also supports missionaries, and giving is prescribed by the Lord. Those that labor in the word, those that labor in the gospel should live of the gospel. We find that giving is to be performed by the church. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Giving is to be performed by the church. Look at verse number 15 of Philippians 4. It says, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even Thessalonica, ye sent once again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but desire fruit that may abound to your account. We find here that, in fact, there was 18 describes the gift that is sent to him here in prison. So we find here that the giving is prescribed by the Lord, but giving is also performed by the church. The church at Philippi was busy giving or performing the act of giving. They were busy taking up offerings among themselves, other churches, to send to the Apostle Paul or the missionaries. They were involved in missions. And so again, I want to see tonight that as we send missionaries, we also are to support missionaries as well with money, with our finances. And it's to be performed by the church. But I believe that giving is to be practiced by the body. Oftentimes when you go to a church, I don't care what size it is or who it is, many times as you watch and get involved in the mechanics of it, the giving is done by just a handful of people. You might have 100 folks in the church and the giving is just done by a small portion of those people. It's been my observation that when it comes to missions, that when it comes to giving, let's say that tithing, I would say that my observation has been about 70% of God's people in the church tithe. Not regularly, but on a somewhat consistent basis. But when it comes to giving to missions, it's even lower than that. And so we find that I believe that giving is prescribed by the Lord, performed by the church, but prescribed by the entire body. Everyone can be involved in missions. I think I'm hearing crickets. Everyone can be involved in missions. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit, Lord willing. But I believe that even young people can be involved in missions if they're so trained and so taught and so disciplined by their parents. And I don't mean this is disciplined by being spanked, okay? So that word we use, like, he'll always spank them. No, if you discipline them as far as teaching them and nourishing them, helping them. And so we all should be involved in missions. with the right mindset and the right planning, all can be involved in missionary. The entire body of Christ of a local church involved in giving and supporting missionaries. And giving has a promised blessing. Philippians 4:19, it says this, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Many folks take this verse out of context. Many folks that don't do anything for Christ grab this verse and say, "That's my verse. I have need, and so my God will supply all my need." God promised that. But in the context of the verses, he's not talking just to anybody. He's talking to a local body of believers that are involved in giving. God gives to givers. Give, and it shall be given, the Bible says. God does not reward stinginess. God does not reward the welfare mentality. God does not reward those that refuse to give, those that give because they don't, those that can't give because they don't plan, don't budget, those that are lazy. God doesn't reward those, but those that reward, those that cast the bread upon waters, they're gonna find that again. And God gives to those that give. And so this promise of God supplying all my needs is not to anybody, but it's to the local body of believers that are busy, involved in the heartbeat of God, sending and supporting missionaries. And I believe that through the Word of God, we find that God loves his people. And he loves those that soul win and those that knock on doors and those that pass out tracts and those that tell others about Jesus Christ. He loves it when churches support those that are doing the very same thing. Now here at our church, we have what we call faith promise missions. It's giving that's additional to your tithes and offerings. Now, I'm surprised there's not a little moan or groan right there, because some folks have the idea that that tithes and offerings should cover everything the church wants to do. And if we lived in an ideal situation and everybody tithed, it probably could almost do that. But not everybody tithes and not everybody gives. And so the fact of the matter is that sometimes you have to take special offerings up. And I believe that missions in the Bible was not tithing, but was above and beyond the giving of the local body of believers. And so we give additional to our tithes and offerings. Faith promise is demonstrating by your faith, by committing to give a determined amount of money for a designated amount of time for the sole purpose of supporting missions. So when you give to missions, all that money goes to missions. Doesn't go for light bulbs, doesn't go for gifts, doesn't go for cutting grass, doesn't go for any foolishness. It goes all for missions. But you're by faith, you're pledging, "I'm going to give this much money for this much time for the purpose of missions." In our church, we have what we call an 80-20 formula, which means this: 80% of all that comes in, we want to send out for support. 20%, we want to hold back and bank for special needs or for missions conferences. So when we have when that is working, right now we don't have that much because of our mission giving was pledged high, then it fell off. Now a lot of our giving has to go to maintain our missionaries right now. But in the past, when we've had 20% cushion, we've had phone calls from missionaries saying, "Hey, I've got this need," and we're able to send them money from that cushion. So that's what we use that for, that 20% for. So right now, this year, we have 23 missionaries. We need $2,050 a month to do that. And we just hit that mark, just barely on a month, which I'm excited for and thankful for that. We're not going backwards. And so this year, our goal was $33,000. We're right now just a hair above $19,000. So we're far off from our goal we started from the beginning of 2019. I'd like to see us get to $25,000 in 2020. If we could get our pledge up to $20,000, we could probably take on one or two more additional missionaries this next year. And so that's where our church sits at this moment with missions giving. I want to show you some verses here, and this is not to beat anybody up. I'm preaching tonight on two spectrums. One is Bible. So you can argue with me all you want to. You're not going to win, because what I'm talking about is Bible. It's not that you're going to beat me. You can't beat the book. Okay? You can out-debate me. I'm not a good debater. Okay? Never have been. I'm not fast on my feet. I'm not quick thinker that way. I would not make a good debate team. All right? But, so you're not going to win on the fact of what the scripture says. But from experience, you can tell me all you want to tell me. I know from experience how God blesses giving. And so that's the two ends. That's the two spectrums that come from tonight in preaching this message, is from the Bible and from experience. And my experience lines up with the book, so it can't be. But it's not a Pentecostal warm fuzzy feeling, then. All right. So let me show you something tonight. Let's look at the character of giving first of all. Take your Bibles and look back at 2 Corinthians. And just get to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we're going to look at some verses in 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Watch this now. Number one is this. Giving is part of the faithful Christian life. I don't care what tonight, as you grow in grace, giving has to be part of the Christian life. If you've not got to the part of giving yet, you are not matured. Now watch 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians 8, verse number 7. The Bible says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. The context of the scripture is giving. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 deal with giving, and they're taking up offerings for a church in Jerusalem because of the famine that was in Jerusalem. There was folks that had a need. And so Paul now writes about this idea of giving and taking up offerings to help other churches. You don't hear that very often anymore either. But they are taking an offering up, and so the context is about helping another church, but the principle is still the same. Paul says, as you abound in your Christian life in faith, and in utterance, and in knowledge, and in being diligent in your walk with Him, and in your love for God's people, he says, also abound in this, your giving. That has to come alongside. For one, I'll tell you something. If you're not participating in giving and tithing and offerings and giving, we know who your God is. I'll tiptoe around that a little bit. Let me say it again. If you're not involved in tithes and offerings and giving to missions and want to abound in those areas as well, then we know who your God is. All right? Then God is not your God. He might be your Savior, but He's not your God. Your wallet is your God. Okay, you're worshiping greenbacks. And we live in a day and age when Americans love their money. Well, because we love our toys. And we love our possessions, and we love our hobbies. We love to go and come as we please and do what we want to do. And when it comes to giving and sacrificing, it goes contrary to our flesh, because the amount that God says to give is hard for us to comprehend sometimes. God says 10%, and we're like, oh, well, God, how about $1? You know, the dollar is the most used bill in the church. The dollar bill has seen more offering plates than any other bill in the country. And if they can only speak, huh? So we're to abound in this grace of giving. Giving, verse number 8 says, I speak not by commandment, by occasion, for the forwardness of others, to prove the sincerity of your love. And so giving proves the sincerity and maturity of our love and faith. When we are involved in giving and helping God's people, it proves, it reveals the sincerity and the maturity of my faith and love. And there's folks that need to mature in the areas of faith and love. You say, preacher, but I've loved and I've been hurt before. That's no reason to go and become a rebellious and become a backslider in the area of charity and giving. You can't go through this life, this side of heaven. Remember, we're not in heaven yet. And people are not perfect. And you cannot live this side of heaven and do God's will and be and open yourself up and give and minister, talk to people and give your heart and give your finances and not be hurt. But the mature Christian that's mature in faith and sincere in love just keeps on plugging away. It's the baby that crawls up in fetal position and sucks his thumb and dies. It's the baby Christian. And so we need to mature this area and abound as well in giving. It reveals our sincerity in our faith, the maturity of our faith. Did not the Lord Jesus Christ give His life for us? While we were yet sinners, He laid down His life for us. Amen. The Bible says in 1 John 3:17-18, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, setteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how doth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. I want the love of God in my life to be real. I'm tired of phony stuff. I'm tired of the routine and the tradition we go through. I'm tired of Christians being phony. I'm tired of my heart being cold and shallow. I want the love of God in my life to be real. And God said, when it's real, when it's really real, you're going to pull out of your pocketbook. You're going to give to those that have need. And that, by the way, look up here. That involves young folks as well. Some of you young folks that come to church stuff, you shut me off. Now, I'm not trying to get on you tonight, but you come to church, you just zone out. Like, this is not to me. I'm just, you know, I'm a young person right now, so I can wait 10 more years. Why would you want to? Why would you want to? When you can get involved in church and God's business now and be leaps and leaps and bounds ahead of the average Christian when you get married and have your own children, be leaps and bounds ahead of anybody else your age. Why would you shut the church off? Like, that's not for me. Well, it is for you. Some of the greatest things that have been done in history have been done by young people with a heart for God. Think of David when he went to church and shut the preacher off. I'm not listening, la, 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 la. There'd been no story of David and Goliath. And so God uses everybody. And so we find here that giving is part of the faithful Christian life. Giving proves the sincerity and maturity of our faith and love. Giving provides a way for to believers to imitate the life of Christ. Chapter 8, verse number 9 through 11, it says this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich." So we find here, this is an area that I can imitate Christ in. There are some things that I cannot do what Christ did, but I can imitate him in the area of giving. I can't walk on water. I can't raise the dead. I can't even turn water into wine. No, every time I'm like, that's going to be a beneficial to help. You know, of course, I wouldn't use wine. I'd be like, grape soda, you know. Here's some Sprecher's grape soda. I'd be 100 pounds heavier. But I can imitate the Lord in the area of love and giving. And so we find here that giving provides a way for them to imitate the life of Christ. You don't want to imitate somebody, quit trying to imitate the latest Hollywood star. Imitate Christ. You want to imitate somebody, quit trying to imitate the latest pop star and rock star. Imitate Christ Jesus. Don't try to imitate a WWF or E or whatever it is now, star. Imitate Christ. Imitate Christ. Let's go a little farther here. Let's look at the criteria of giving. And I'm going to go through these really quickly because of time's sake. Giving must be done with the right attitude. Giving must be done with the right attitude. It requires a willing mind. Chapter 8, verse number 12. Is that the right verse? Yes, for if there be first a willing mind, is accepted according to him that a man hath, not according to he hath not. And so giving must be done with the right attitude. Giving requires a willing mind. Exodus 35, when God wanted them, Israel, to build a tabernacle in the wilderness, he said, bring an offering, but it must be done with a willing mind. If it's not done willingly, I don't want it. He would refuse the offering. And so what pleases God is a willing heart and mind to give. Not grudgingly, but giving. Giving is best when it's given cheerfully. Look at chapter 9, verse number 7. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give not grudgingly or necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Giving that is cheerful is best. God loves a cheerful giver, one that enjoys giving. Oh, it's not that we become addicted to giving and missions and helping God's people. It'll be part of who we are as Christians and a church family. Cheerfully giving, not grudgingly. You can give to the insurance company grudgingly, but not to God. You can pay your hospital bills grudgingly, but not God. Listen, you can buy groceries grudgingly and grumpily and but not to God. Listen, you can pay your heat bill and your light bill grudgingly and complain and murmur about your taxes, but to God, you should give cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver. Giving must be done purposely. Verse number 7 says, every man according as he purposed in his heart. When it comes to giving to missions, when it comes to giving to others, there is no required amount. God says, listen, you work it out in your heart what you want me to give. God's not standing there with the bill saying you must give this amount. But listen, as you purpose in your heart, then give. You know, Ananias and Sapphira, they died so needlessly. What a bunch of Christian morons. They were not required to give their offering. They were not required to sell their property. They were not required even to give it all. It was theirs to have and theirs to do what they wanted to do with it. But they wanted to be the spotlight of, look who I am. And they lied to the Holy Spirit of God and God killed them. Why did God stop doing that? Because he realized that the church would be empty. He did it once. Yeah. So now there's two rainbows in the sky. So giving must be done purposely. Impulse giving is as bad as impulse buying. I'm an impulse buyer, which then makes me also an impulse giver. I'll see a need, I'll give, and then afterwards, like, here's what happens. It never fails. I'll see a need, somebody has a need, and I'll give, and then that person, they go and they buy something spectacular. I'm like, I thought they had a need. Now I regret, I want my money back, you know. I had a real need, and I sacrificed, and I'm like, how do they buy that? And so, anyway, that's between them and God. So giving is as bad as, impulse giving is as bad as impulse buying. You must purpose in your heart. Giving, we must not give by wrong motivations. And impulse giving may neglect the guidance of the Holy Spirit. When we must do it on purpose. Don't wait until some tear jerking invitation. Think it, pray about it now. Pray about what God have you do today and tonight and throughout the rest of the weekend. Sometimes it seems like we'd have no thought about it whatsoever until all of a sudden we hear this tear-jerking story and invitations given, and then we pledge to give way more than we can afford to give. And so giving must be done purposely. Next thing here is I want you to see this. Giving must be budgeted by what is in your budget. Profound. I should have won a Nobel Peace Prize for that statement by itself. Look at chapter 8, verse number 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but an equality. That now at this time your abundance may be a supply also for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. Now by the way, for any liberals that may be in our church, this is not promoting socialism. Socialism was never, God never told the government to take care of people. Hey, just build roads and fight wars. That's all we care about. Just build us roads and fight some battles for us. Everything else, we'll take care of ourselves. The church is supposed to help people. Never supposed to be a governmental social program. But even with that, God has guidelines. But here's what I want to tell you about giving when it comes to the Faith Promise missions. God's not going to require something from you that you do not have. What an unrighteous God he'd be if he told you, you know, this always amazed me. And maybe my logic doesn't make sense. But I had a preacher one time say, you know, he just said, you know what, you pray about it. You just ask God for some number. And you ask God for a number that you don't even have. Then you claim that number and claim God's promise to give to you throughout the year. So I asked him, well, why don't you just claim $2 million then? Sure. Why not? It's just easy for God to give you $2 million as a 200. It ain't no harder for God to give $2 million. You know, it's just as easy. The same flip of the wrist. Same spoken word. He can give it just as easy. Let's try your faith that way, buddy. God doesn't ask for us what we don't have. Here's the problem. The Christians have what God has provided. We waste it. I'm not going to win any friends tonight. We are great wasters of money. You know why we're not building buildings anymore and seeing missionary sound anymore? Because we are great wasters of money. How could our grandparents who made less money than we do build buildings and missionaries out and build schools? My grandfather never made more than $8 an hour. You know what? He didn't have cable and satellite dish and cell phones and smartphones and all kinds of games. He didn't have to run across the country and go on vacations and blow money on gas and eat out every night. He knew how to save some money. So we must give by what's in our budget. All right? People are convinced, I think I wrote this down. People that are convinced they cannot afford to give generally do not live by a budget. Everyone is able to be involved in the